Merry Christmas, everyone. We're so glad to have you with us tonight. And whether you've traveled from afar to be here with family, or maybe you come at the invitation of a friend or a coworker, or maybe you just wanted to be in church on Christmas Eve, and it's the first time or the first time in a long time, so glad to have you with us. And for all of you joining us online, I'm so glad that you can be with us wherever you are joining from tonight. I want to ask you a question. The question is this: what was your favorite gift you received as a child? Can you think of anything? I was in a group a few nights ago, and someone asked that question: what was your favorite gift? And to be honest with you, it's like my mind went blank. I couldn't think of anything. I think I've received some really great gifts over the years, and I think maybe it must have been more because I'm getting old and can't remember them. You know, probably more than that. But right now, tell the person you came with, what was one of your favorite gifts that you received as a kid? I don't want to tell you how old I am necessarily, but for me, I remember getting G.I. Joes and Lego sets and the original Nintendo cartridges where you had to blow it when it wasn't working anyone in that generation, right? Anyone got the Atari for Christmas? Oh, that's going way back, all right? I'm going to get myself in trouble here if I don't watch out. But every Christmas, we try to find the perfect gift, don't we? We try to find the gift of something that they don't already have or something that they could use or maybe not buy for themselves. And we want to have that unexpected gift, the gift that comes with thoughtfulness and creativity. And some people are so good at giving the unexpected gift. Well, I went to bed that night, and that conversation had long been forgotten in my mind. I wasn't thinking about it at all, and I went to sleep. But how many know the brain is a pretty weird and wonderful thing? Because I woke up the next morning, and my very first thought, without even thinking and being, you know, was about a gift that I had received as a kid. And this gift, Rebecca, would you bring my prop with me, please, for me? So my gift had to be plugged in. And this is what popped into my head this week as I was thinking about this, the gift that I loved as a kid, and it was a lamp. Now, I don't know if you've ever been excited about a lamp. Some of the ladies are like, woohoo, lamps for the living room. Yeah, right? But this is not a living room lamp. This is, anyone want to guess? It is a lava lamp. And I remember having a lava lamp. Some of you are like, oh, shoot, I should have asked for one of those this year. The one I had used to have like this little rack on the side and you could put your CDs in it. Anyone remember the CD holder back then? Anyone like the original lava lamp people like from the 60s? You're like, yeah, groovy baby. I remember the original lava lamp. And the lava lamp's pretty amazing. You know, there's something so mesmerizing about a lava lamp, isn't there? Right, this glow just lights up the room, but not just light, it brings color and it brings movement. It just kind of draws you in to look at this mesmerizing lava lamp. And it's so relaxing. The box that this lava lamp came in, it told me it was decorative, it was entertaining, and it was relaxing. That was the promises. And it also said vintagely cool. And that's what it said on the box. So if you want one of these, maybe Boxing Day, you can run out and get one. But this light, if you ever had a lava lamp, you might know that it doesn't instantly activate. You don't get all of this mesmerizing movement right away, do you? Right? You got to turn it on. You got to let it heat up for a little bit. This little light bulb in the bottom of it, it produces light. But that light has to melt the hardness of the wax. And as it begins to transform the hardness of the wax, that wax begins to bubble and to move. And this small light creates a movement. And I thought, how much of that is like Jesus, the light of the world who has to melt the hardness of our hearts. But when it melts the hardness of our hearts, it brings transformation, brings movement. There's a movement created. And I got thinking that this is exactly how the Christmas story begins, with a small, unexpected light in the darkness and one that was about to create a movement. The New Testament opens in a pretty perplexing place. If you're not familiar with the scriptures in the Bible, there's a gap between the Old Testament and the New Testament, a period of about 400 years. And God had been leading his people, the people of Israel, through the Old Testament, through the prophecies and through the judges. But a period of silence had come, almost 400 years, where it seemed as though God had gone silent. There was no fresh divine direction. No sign of God's promises being fulfilled. If we're being honest, Israel was in a dark place. Things couldn't have been any worse for them. They had been under a series of ruling nations. First the Babylonians and the Assyrians, and now the Romans and the Greeks. But at the time of Jesus, the Romans are the oppressors. And in this time, Israel is occupied, and they're waiting and wondering in this time of uncertainty in a dark place. Physically, politically, economically, spiritually, and emotionally. And that's when it happened. Suddenly, without fanfare, without a PR or advertising campaign, unexpectedly, God began to do something extraordinary. Matthew, in his gospel, equates what God was doing with the prophecy foretold 700 years before the book of Isaiah. In Matthew 4, he writes, "The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who lived in the land where darkness cast its shadow, a light has shined." For 400 years, the people have been awaiting God's promised Messiah with different levels of expectation. I think we can see these levels of expectation in our world today, with the level of being distracted and disinterested. They were disengaged. They were living for the weekend with no thought to what God was doing. Some of them had dismissed it all as a fairy tale. But then there were those who were diligently watching and waiting, and for them a light began to shine. God, as we see often in scriptures and in our lives, loves to show up at unexpected times and in unexpected places. Have you ever found that to be true? God loves to show up in ways that we didn't see coming. The angels unexpectedly appeared. They had appeared this message from the throne room of God, first to Zechariah, this old priest of the temple. The message was that you and your wife Elizabeth, though mature in age, are about to have a baby who will prepare the way for the Messiah, and he will be called John the Baptist. That was unexpected. They didn't see that coming. How many want an unexpected birth announcement from your grandparents this week over Christmas? Next, Mary and Joseph, really just kids about to get married. They also are having a child, they're told, and he will be conceived not by natural means, but by God's Holy Spirit and delivered through virgin birth. Definitely unexpected. And not in a way that they saw coming. The shepherds were watching over their fields through the night, and they shook in fear as the angel choir appeared before them to tell them where to find the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, not in a palace, not on a throne, but wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger. Unexpected for sure. They didn't see that coming. All of this was unexpected. None of it was in a way that anyone saw coming, but God saw it coming. In Galatians 4, it writes that when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman. How many times have we thought that things were falling apart in our lives, when really we would soon discover that they're actually falling into place? You know, so many times our plans have fallen through. Our timelines have evaporated and our deadlines have passed, and we discover that rather than falling apart, that God is actually doing something greater on the other side, that things are falling into place. You know, as the days are counting down to the first Christmas, God's will and God's ways conjoined in his timing, and unexpectedly to the people of earth, the message was sent, this an amazing announcement through the angels, breaking the silence in a way that no one saw coming. In Luke chapter 1, 77, it says this, "Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us to give light to those in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us to the path of peace, to give light and to give guidance. In the darkness of this world, a light began to shine that would give perspective and a path to peace. Anyone afraid of the dark? Now, some of you are sitting in the front row, I think, because you didn't want to sit at the dark in the back. You wanted to be up here near the light. I'm sure that's why you're here. Now, I wouldn't really admit to being afraid of the dark, but as a kid, I tried to avoid it as much as possible. And the worst place was my grandma's basement. Can anyone say amen? Anyone relate to grandma's basement? Amen. My grandma's basement was unfinished, and to make it the worst, they had a blanket over the door to the furnace room. How many know as a kid, there's just the imagination of all the reasons why you shouldn't go into the furnace room with a blanket for a door. I never wanted to go down to my grandma's basement. And in the darkness of this world, a light began to shine. See, darkness can lead to fear because darkness distorts perception. Right, we've all been there. You get tucked into bed at night, get the sheet up to your chin, and get the lights off, and you're just about to ready to go to sleep, and all of a sudden there's someone standing in the corner of your room. Wait, it's not a person, it's a monster. And you turn the light on, and then you realize, oh, it's just the jeans I draped over my chair. Darkness distorts perception. Some of you are like, I can't relate to that because my jeans go on the floor. Darkness distorts perception. Sometimes we find ourselves in what Scripture describes as a spiritually and emotionally dark place. And our perception becomes distorted, doesn't it? You know, as adults, our fears are less about the boogeyman. And our fears are more about our insecurities, our self-worth. We fear feeling like failure. We fear being out of control of our lives. And darkness can make it feel like God is distant. The darkness can make it feel like God doesn't care. Darkness distorts perception. But Jesus' light dispels the darkness. The morning light from heaven is about to break upon us, Matthew writes, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Jesus' light renews our perception. It refreshes us and gives us a fresh perspective. Through the light of Jesus, we see life differently. How many have ever needed a refreshing of your perspective? Because you can be so entrenched in one way of thinking, but you need that fresh perspective to come and to change how you're seeing. In the darkness, the negativity of our hearts is the loudest. Right? The fears of our hearts and is the strongest. Those anxious feelings are amplified. How many times have we laid awake in the darkness of the night with our minds and our heart racing with all the thoughts? And yet there's something that happens when the daylight breaks, spiritually and physically. When the light of morning comes, it's almost like a fresh perspective comes with it. When you gain perspective, you also gain peace. See, the good news of Christmas is that there's a light that shines brighter than the darkness. And there's a light that dispels fear and a light that gives perspective. And when you gain perspective, you gain peace. Peace of heart, peace of mind, and peace with God. You know, that first Christmas looked different than anyone could have expected. In a stable far from home, God's light arrived in the form of a baby, unexpectedly, in a way that no one saw coming. And he grew to be our Savior, but then he went to die on the cross, unexpected. No one saw it coming. But then on the third day, Jesus Christ rose from the grave and conquering death, fear, darkness. It was unexpected and no one saw it coming. And then he told his followers that he was leaving. He was returning to heaven. That was unexpected. None of them saw that coming. But before he left, the light of this world, the one who has promised to bring a perspective and a path to peace, this is what he said in John 12:46. He said, I have come as a light to shine in this dark world, so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark. A few verses later, he says, I'm leaving you with a gift. peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Remember what I told you. I'm going away, but I will come back to you again. Just as unexpectedly as Jesus came the first time, born of a virgin, laid in a manger. Jesus said, I'm going to come unexpectedly again, but when I come again, I'm going to come as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. I'm going to come victorious. And where I am, you will be with me. Can I encourage you tonight that when life seems to be at its darkest, that's when Jesus' light shines brightest. That's the joy of Christmas. That Jesus is a light that gives perspective, and he is a light that shines on the path to peace. Peace of heart, peace of mind, and peace with God. Jesus wants to bring his light to your life tonight. If you get anything from this, I want you to know that Jesus wants to bring his light to your life tonight. Maybe you're here and you're sensing a stirring in your heart. Maybe you can really acknowledge, yeah, I feel like I've been in the darkness. I need a light. I need a path to peace. Maybe you're here tonight that something's stirring in you, that there's a freshness or something that I need. That's the Holy Spirit. Would you just allow him to continue to soften your heart and illuminate your life? John chapter 1 verse 9 says, the one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become the children of God. And they are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. And so the word became human and made his home among us. And he was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. We have seen his glory, we've seen his light, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Would you bow your head for a moment, close your eyes as I pray for us tonight. Heavenly Father, I thank you. Jesus, thank you. That the God of this universe, the one who created this, who formed us and shaped us and gave us plan, a purpose for our lives, that you thought enough of us that you sent your Son. That Jesus, you came to bring the light that leads to peace. The light that dispels darkness, the light that changes and transforms every heart and every life that would allow you to enter in. And tonight we pray for those that might be in this moment, especially feeling that sense that you're calling them to something more, that you're calling them to look to you as their light. I pray in this moment, Lord, that they would have the faith and the courage to say yes to following you. But I pray for those of us that have made that decision, God, I pray that we would be the light shining in our city, shining in our family, shining in our community, a light that would lead to you, and that you would bring change and transformation like this lava lamp, that there would be a changing and softening of hearts, Lord, that there would be a movement started because of the light. So I just pray, Father, as we celebrate this Christmas together, we are so thankful for your light, your hope, your peace in the darkness. In Jesus' name we pray.